Test, test, test.
Oh, we're really going back. He didn't like any of it.
Let's re-record an episode.
Episode one?
Maybe. Maybe that's a good place to start.
Did you go back and re-listen to it?
Episode one? No, it's been a long time. When's the last time you listened to episode one?
Not episode one, but I did listen to one of the early episodes.
Accidentally? Like it just started playing?
No, on purpose. We had talked about something on a later episode and I was like, oh, we talked about this in some previous episode and I went back and re-listened.
I have a friend who is going back. They're back in time. They're still a year or so behind and they're listening.
They're still listening to Animal Kingdom.
They were talking about Animal Kingdom.
I mean, it was about a year ago that we settled on Animal Kingdom, quote unquote.
Yes.
That's nice of them to go back.
Yeah.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we just assume we know the rules. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason.
Go on.
Yes, I do this a lot. I've played a game, put the game away, I haven't played it in a while, and I pull it out, and I teach it to somebody, and I start playing the game. Inevitably, there's something that I forget, and so in Night of the Ninja, which is it's a fun party game, we're going to talk about party games in a little bit. There's a drafting phase to the game and where you select your abilities and you get an assigned house or team. And I wasn't letting people look at their team before they drafted their card. And I was like, it felt a little weird because some of the roles were like, why would I have picked this if I knew this was my house and this was my number? And about three quarters of the way through the game, I realized I was doing it wrong. I pulled out the rules and I looked and I'm like, yeah, we're playing wrong. It wasn't like a game-breaking thing, but it definitely made playing a little different, a little weird, because you would choose things based on what your house and your number was if you knew those things. But I didn't teach it that way. You wouldn't like it. You've got to lie.
I like Devil's Dice.
We're going to talk about that later, too.
I also played a party game over the break last week.
What'd you play?
Have you heard of it? It's this game where you write a bunch of ideas on a piece of paper.
Oh, God. Go on. You make me mad.
And then you, first round is like taboo. You give verbal clues.
Yeah.
Second round, you put everything back in. And then the next one is charades.
Are you trolling me right now?
And the last one is you get one word to get your team to recall the word.
You're trolling me.
Have you heard of this game? It's called Salad Bowl.
I just don't know if you're trolling me.
I'm absolutely trolling you.
Okay. But you did play Salad Bowl?
I did play Salad Bowl.
For anyone who didn't know, I had pitched the game a long time ago called Nouns in a Bag as one of the games that I would want to explore. Apparently somebody's already put it. Was it a thing that was purchased or did somebody just say, this game is called Salad Bowl and this is how you play?
It was the second one.
So there's still a space out there for somebody to like create the box for this game. It has lots of different names. I love playing that game. Why don't you even call me? I'll drive across the bay.
Next time. Well, we've done a lot of partying.
Have we?
I mean, we've both played party games. Okay. That's like as close to partying as you or I get.
Right. Okay.
We've also been doing a lot of showing a night sky. I had Starfall in my head because I've only been looking at the visuals.
Yeah.
But we've been doing our end of year plan for getting a night sky out there in front of other players. Last night, I took it to the Golden Gate Game Makers hosted Protospiel night at Victory Point Cafe.
Before we talk about that, today's episode is sponsored by Board Game Casual. Board Game Casual is a YouTube channel welcoming people into the board game hobby with video reviews, recommendations, unboxings, tips for accessorizing on a budget, and more. It's family party season, Mark, as we know. And this week, Board Game Casual has some party game recommendations on their channel. One of which, Green Team Wins, I bought for myself last year. It's been a great classroom game for my students. Have you played Flip 7 yet, Mark?
No, I haven't. Is it anything like 6-7?
Yeah, you got it in there, Mark. Good job. 6-7. No, it's like Can't Stop. Remember when I got really into the Can't Stop phase and couldn't stop playing it? Flip 7 is that, but with cards. It's just easier to play and set up. You'd like it. But it's a great party game, and Board Game Casual talks about it. They also talked about Liar's Dice as a great party game, which I agree. I like the version called Skull. It's just, I don't know, just a little bit simpler. But it's another great video that Board Game Casual's got, just like their upcoming video on tile placement components. Give Board Game Casual a view at Board Game Casual on YouTube, at Board Game Casual channel.
Where are we?
That is the $5,000 question. I say 5,000 because if I had the guess, that would be our fully funded target on Kickstarter. Of course, is Kickstarter the path? We'll be talking about that soon, but let's tackle that second. Where's the game, I think, is the question. I think that's what we're talking about. After Kublai Khan, Mark, we said that we need to make adjustments to the end game. That was the feedback that we got in the protospiel at Kublai Khan. We did and we didn't. I went ham. I mean, I absolutely went ham in a lot of different ways over the last 2 weeks, like literally different directions with the game. I'm going to tell you about a playtest. You don't know about this playtest yet, but I playtested last night with I'm So Fast at Winning. And we have been trying to layer theme into the game. And that's where my head has been. How can I make the game feel more like two kids looking up at the night sky? And I had an idea and I thought about it over a couple of days. I created the tiles and cards on playing cards. We loaded up the game last night. I explained the rules to I'm So Bad, and he laughed. The game ended on turn four, and he knew it was going to end on turn four. It was just too easy to make the game-winning condition. It wasn't a pattern. I set up that you would make a connection with colors, so on your card, it wouldn't show a pattern like we've been playing with. It would say two blue, two orange, and I added a fourth color, white, and you just had to get those linked and touching on the grid. And it was just far too easy. But that's, I don't know. I feel like that's where I've been for the last couple of weeks. I just went off in a different direction entirely. Whereas you took a simpler approach and you went to Victory Point Cafe for the Golden Gate Game Makers event. And you made one change to the end game and did a playtest. Now I know it was a small playtest. It was only two games, and of those two games, I know only one game made it to that end condition. But tell me about Victory Point.
The Golden Gate Game Makers host these game designer playtest nights where a bunch of game designers come and we all playtest each other's games. So I went to the one at Victory Point Cafe last night in Berkeley, had myself a delicious root beer and a shot of espresso. And so I got to sit down and teach the game after I'd played another game. So I sat down, did the teach, and then explained to the playtesters the thing that we were trying to solve for. And I was like, we have this problem with the end state where players are feeling really restricted in what they can and can't do. And so we're testing a solution for trying to give players more options in the end game. We had one player who had also brought a tile placement game, and so they kind of caught on a little more quickly. And another player who definitely presented as kind of like the new player profile to our game. So the newer player had a lot of the same early player learning curve considerations that we've seen other players experience, where there was the information overload. He felt like he was just trying to avoid losing as opposed to just developing his own strategy. So the first game didn't make it into the third round to test the endgame condition. In the second game, they did make it into round three. When we hit round three, the change that we were testing was we gave a new rule where players would place one tile of any color and then choose one of the three available actions in the game to execute on the board, which meant now there were formerly six places to place and kind of six actions that might or might not be viable. So the idea was we're increasing the number of player decisions by giving a placement decision and which operation to execute on the board.
And I think no doubt that increases the opportunity to make a pattern. No question.
In that game, the winning player did win using the additional rule to complete their pattern. So it was cool to see an attempt at the change, players using the new rule to progress the game and win, and to see the rule kind of like work as we hoped it would. It created a little bit more spacing in the game because that player wouldn't have been able to make their pattern without the rules adjustment.
And we have tried in a couple of games as well using that rule, setting up just an end state, not playing the game for the first 18 turns, but just setting the board up randomly as if we had played. And we have both won games with and without using the special power.
Feedback from the one game that made it into the end game state that we were testing was both players really liked the change. They were like, it's a good change. You really can't expect to have the game end if you don't make some kind of adjustment. So they were both enthusiastic about the need for some kind of expansion into the end state. And it was successful in that, again, the change did bring us to a winner in the game.
I think so too. I mean, I think we have to have, with the current version of the game, some effect at the start of round three. I'm not convinced on what that is yet.
I agree. I think that was, you proposed three options and I kind of picked the lowest hanging fruit because you were like event cards and we were like, well, we didn't make event cards, so we can't test those. Another option was putting kind of a tiebreaker clause where you counted and won based on who was more tiles into completing their pattern, which I personally didn't love. I'd rather just say it's a draw.
Yeah, you didn't like that.
And then the third option was this expansion of giving each tile color the ability to do any of the three moves that we have in the game. I'd thought of a couple of others where you could push a tile off of the grid, because what I remember hearing from Kublai Khan in the interviews and in our debrief about it was there's not enough movement available on the board. And so pushing something out of the board would then create a new space so that you kind of preserve those six choices. We tried a little bit of that together. You weren't in love with it, I gathered.
Well, I rotated the board and said, what happens to that tile on the outside of the board now? Does it turn with it? Does it stay? I didn't love it.
And I think there's also an issue of if I am the player that pushes the tile out, it's like the undo rule that we would run into in other versions. I push a tile off the board, you just drop a tile of that color in that space. So not an especially effective solution. The last version that I was thinking of that I didn't finish coming up with the moves that would be associated with it was adding one additional operation to each color, where like gray could pick up swap. I was into the idea of one tile being able to just cut in front of, where you would take the tile that I want to place and just displace and remove the tile that I choose, which I think would be really powerful and give you access to deep parts of the board that aren't currently available. I just never came up with a third operation that I thought would be close to those two, because we know how powerful swap is.
Yeah, that was one of the hurdles I ran into too. For me, it was also thinking about theme. How does pushing a star out of the galaxy fit, like by taking it off the grid?
This is a separate question, because yeah. I know you've been in theme land to the point where I think we're reaching into a territory of the branching paths that we're exploring are beginning to approximate a different game than this game.
Yeah. I mean, I was playing a slightly different game last night with I'm So Bad.
That one's more similar to this, to like, say, version 15, where we've set these three rules with the orthogonal, diagonal, and rotation movements. Let's pause, because I know we're going to talk more about where we are and where the game is going to go. In thinking about the end game state, I don't think one game where we got to test the probably best expansion into the rule set into round three that we've come up with is sufficient to say whether or not we want that or not. I do think that solution that we brought to Victory Point Cafe is the best of the options that we've explored in terms of solving the end game problem. Doesn't have anything to do with theme. He's giving me the stare.
I agree they're separate questions, but I don't agree that the answers, the solutions are separate. For example, I thought the option with having events trigger was a theme solution, that what would happen when you go to place in the third round, you would flip over an event card And then it would change the rules in some kind of crazy way. Where, and then maybe like every row shifted one space. Or there could be, you know, just it's light pollution. You can't see. This tile has no effect. It doesn't move anything else. Or wish upon a star. You get to move the wild token anywhere you want it. Which I feel like in talking to you, we were trying different versions of the game that we haven't even talked about, like the upgrade version of the game. Those were the things you liked, where it was just like looking up at the sky and then just doing whatever you want, like just coming up with rules or reimagining your shape. And so I saw the event cards as a way to bring that in, solve end game, and kind of tie in the theme.
The reason in my head why I think the upgrade version and the event deck version and these other kind of adding another element, another mechanic, another phase to the game. I think the reason why they haven't really struck a chord with me and seem like such radical departures from the game to me is we really built the game for this very simple. And I know I'm kind of like making the argument of like, oh, well, like we're just like forcing a theme into somewhere where it isn't. I've kind of bought into the I'm so bad Kool-Aid. But I think the compelling things about this game before we started really trying to be like, ah, yes, it's this theme, it's that theme. The compelling thing for me about the game and the beauty in the game was how simple it was. The simplicity of the universe of the game exists in the board. The universe in the game exists in the tiles that we play. The universe of the game exists in the simple interaction in the game of I place one tile and I make one movement. And I know that's very limiting in terms of how the game plays and is kind of endemic of why we have some of the problems in the game that exist. But there's still a part of me that really believes in the beauty of the simplicity of that game and bringing in extra things in service of a theme that was kind of like a last breath attempt at bringing a theme to a game that we originally were like, oh, it's an abstract themeless game. It's that dissonance between doing things to try to either impose or inject theme into this game when the original concept didn't have it that I find hard to see some of these options as, yes, these fit the game.
I think that is totally fair. That's what I said to I'm So Bad too. I think that is totally fair, but also keep in mind that many games get created without a theme in mind and a theme gets layered on top. Where are we? Would you be happier if we just stripped theme and stayed abstract? We would still have to make changes to the game. You would still need an end game resolution. Or if it's purely abstract, does that change how you think about it in the way that tic-tac-toe is?
I think stripping the theme would change the way that we approach the problem. So I think stripping the game of the theme, I don't know about put us on the same page, but it would unify the parameters more of how we're trying to solve the end game problem. Where like you fork to like, oh yes, theme, and then like all of these neat things. I will tell you, I have also been thinking in service of the theme and going back to like the things that I liked about the telescope version or the upgrade version that we haven't talked about, where I was like, oh, like I think my favorite moment playing this game in a long time has been when I would get my turn to like pick a new thing to do. And it wasn't the upgrade and it wasn't the just like random. It was that moment of remembering what it's like to be a second grader on the playground and just change the rules because that's how second graders play. So I did spend some time like laying on the floor trying to imagine what it would be like to be a child looking up at the sky and like finger tracing like, oh, my shape is here. Like it's over here now.
That's how I got to the color version that I played with I'm So Bad last night. That was my exact thought.
My first impulse to that was it's not a tile laying game. It's a line drawing game.
With tiles. Yeah.
I was moving away from tiles.
I'm not arguing with you. Okay. You were actually moving away from tiles is where you're okay.
But like, this is what I'm saying. What I imagined when I was like, okay, I captured this like idea of two kids laying in a field, looking up at the sky, doing this thing. I arrived at a radically different game than what we're playing. And just like it's hard for me to see this is Animal Kingdom, it would be equally hard for me to see this as children laying in a field drawing lines in the sky.
Theme is holding us back. Is that a fair summary?
I think the question of theme is asking us, has our interest shifted away from what we have created to this point? Compare V15, the last like pure version of the abstract game. Compare that to the telescope upgrade version game.
Which we should just now talk about for a second.
Sure.
In that version of the game, again, I'd like to blame I'm So Bad, but I'm So Bad came to me and had some ideas about theme, and I took what he had said and retooled the version. What I did was I took movement away from color. So blue no longer moved orthogonally. Orange no longer moved diagonally. And what I did was I started each player with a different ability. So the two players in the game were, of course, Mark and Jason. Mark started with the diagonal move. Jason started with the orthogonal move. And then we acquired tiles in a different way, and we earned upgrades. Because the idea was we were looking up into the sky and we were using our telescope. And that was what was, you know, essentially moving the board. And so every couple of turns, we would upgrade our telescope. And if I started with the orthogonal move, I upgraded to the diagonal, and then I had the opportunity to get another upgrade, which would move tiles that were outside of my surrounding area. I could push those either orthogonally or diagonally. And then you could also reach further into the bag. So rather than pull out three tiles and pick one, you could pull out four and then pick one, and then five and pick one. And so essentially the idea was you're upgrading your telescope so that you can see clearer into the sky to find your constellation, upgrade version.
Which led me into my children just make stuff up game. Now, take telescope version, which you just described to us. Go back to your seminar with Randy. Go back to the time that we spent with Fernando. When you play the telescope upgrade version, where's the fun in that game?
In upgrading your telescope.
Pause for a second.
Yes.
How do you describe the genre of our game right now? If you were like, what are you going to put on the box when you're like, the box description on the back of the box for somebody to buy and play this game? I'll do it for you because we did this at Gen Con. This is a two-player head-to-head abstract tile-laying game where you're competing to build your pattern before your opponent. In nowhere in that description, and you could write a new description, but in nowhere in that description of the game, the like snapshot of the game's genre, is there the upgrade thing.
The board wasn't even rotating back then.
Sure.
Yeah.
My point being, this upgrade system, I think you're pulling from games that you enjoy from other genres that are not this genre.
Yeah. You know, I would describe it as a two-player head-to-head abstract game where you are upgrading your telescope to have a clearer picture of the night sky to make your pattern. I'm inserting that in there. Yeah.
Sure.
Nobody likes my ideas anyway, Mark. Okay. That's where we're at.
Well, what I'm trying to say is I think for me, I like a good game with upgrades. My point being like that upgrade system, I think, is more common in your worker placement games, your engine builder games, games that are built to feed into that as like the mechanically interesting space.
Yes. I was radically changing the game. Aren't I supposed to? Why can't I?
You absolutely can. But the question for me then becomes, at what point are you changing the game so radically that you're just building a new game?
Is it a better game?
I mean, good question.
Yeah.
Say it is a better game. It's not the same game.
Okay, I agree.
So then where are we?
We're building a game.
Go on.
I mean, it's the evolution. Is it not the evolution? You're not happy with the game we're playing. Why wouldn't we change it?
I think we would change it. I mean, that's what we've been talking about doing. But I think there's a point where like the rotating board is an evolution of the game.
Yes.
The moving to stacking tiles is an evolution of the game. Removing that is an evolution of the game. The different iterations of how and why the pieces interact in the way that they do. But if I go off and am playing on a circular board with, you know, line drawing pieces.
I want to see it. Show it to me.
Sure. Absolutely. But it's not this game.
You're right. Came from this game, just like this came from Animal Kingdom.
That is really different than saying this is Animal Kingdom.
Sure.
if we are seeing that this game needs such radical changes such that we must make a different game, either you abandon abstract or you go back and change abstract in a way that keeps it as abstract, call it done, and then move on to telescope upgrade game.
I don't know what mutually exclusive really means, but I don't know if those two things are mutually exclusive.
I think that's the question for me. The question is, at what point do the radical changes that you're making to the game become mutually exclusive with the game being abstract? Like, not in genre, but in name.
I mean, that's where we are.
Take the question of injecting theme into the game. How far in terms of rewriting the mechanics and redesigning the game are you willing to go in service of creating a game that has the two children looking up at the sky, looking for constellations in the stars? Are you willing to abandon tiles?
I am. I would be.
Are you willing to abandon the square board?
Yeah.
Are you willing to abandon the...
Go on.
Are you willing to abandon like the pattern win condition or end game that we've established for the game that we've been testing?
Yes.
So if I push all of that stuff off the table and say, let's start building a game, that's what you're saying. You're like, you want to propose to do.
I'm not saying I would propose to do it. I would say I'm willing to do that if we feel like with the current state of the game, that it's not fun.
Or that it's reached its natural design conclusion based on
the parameters we set already for it. Like, for example, we've really hit a wall with these patterns that are five tiles that fit inside a 3x3 grid. There's only so many you can do. And then when you're making our star charts, it's really hard to group them because you don't want situations where they're so close to the other patterns, especially with the rotations. It's almost impossible to get them how we wanted them, where they couldn't share more than three tiles spaces. That's really hard to do. And the version we're playing with right now doesn't do it. One of them has four on the rotation. We created these constraints. I have certainly reached the point where I would go, let's do four. Let's move away from five. Let's do four. Maybe you can go outside the 3x3. Maybe you could even have one of the pieces a color. And so one color has to match. I'm ready to create new constraints. Something has to change. Whether it's enhancing the theme in some way to better fit what we're doing, or if it's making some bigger changes, it's more than just theme. It's something in the structure of our game. I think a key component has got to change a little bit. I don't know what that is right now, talking to you. But I do feel like we probably have to get away from five in the way that we've been making them.
Those kinds of changes that you're talking about are the kinds of changes that would, for me, fall categorically into working on this game and continuing to develop it. And maybe I'm just like the stick in the mud and being stubborn. But like once we start adding
upgrades.
upgrades, event cards, like adding character cards, these mechanical tools that are in games that we enjoy just for the sake of, oh, we need to make some change, just continues to feel kind of incongruent with what the game is right now. And I know that the game has to change. I agree that the game has to change, but it's a question of how. And there is a question of like, well, you know, we've got a lot of feedback from KublaCon that maybe like this version of the game or maybe this game is not that fun. You've had friends play test the game, and from version one through all the versions, even with the upgrade version, the feedback has always been, well, this like this strategy that reveals itself to me does not compel me to play the game further.
Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about that today, but we should put that out there too, that one of the things that I've been trying to change, whether through theme or structure to the game, is that we have repeatedly heard that the best way to play this game, or what we call optimally, is to, there's three patterns in the game. One of them is yours. It is just simply do not let the other two patterns exist. Don't try to make your pattern. Just play defense and make sure you're not allowing your opponent to make any of the other two patterns. And that's just not a fun way to play the game. That's just not, it's not how I want to play the game. But that's the best way to play the game. That's not how I want people to play the game. Period. Full stop.
I think there's a world where that is just a characteristic of this game.
Of this game, yes. We have to change it, though. We can do it in a small way, I think. I think there's a way to still keep the functionality of this one goes up, down, this one goes diagonally, and this one rotates the board. I think if we start thinking about how we can do the patterns differently, we might get somewhere that feels better, that doesn't have the end game constraints and doesn't have that strategy. Now, where you're just playing defense. Now, I've played a version of that game already, and the strategy in that game is just make your own pattern. Don't worry about what the other person is doing. And we have said that's not interactive. That's not fun either. We played with open patterns where all the patterns were on the table and you can make whatever you wanted. Or we played with, you have three patterns in your hand and your opponent has three patterns in their hand and you don't know what their patterns are. And the first one to make three wins. You don't know what they're doing. You can just take guesses and affect their tiles a little bit, but that's also not good. I think we have to find a way. The way you're looking at me is, no, Jason, there isn't a way to do that. The game that we created, the constraints that we made, all of the work that we've done has led us to hidden patterns, and you're just trying to make it before your opponent. And you can't get away from that without completely changing the game and building a different game.
You put it really well in, I think there's a way to make adjustments that preserve the color tied to the mechanic based on a lot of the problems and questions that we've grappled with in designing the game to this point. Moving to four tile patterns with the same presentation of open information and a hidden pattern, I don't think will be an appreciably large enough change to erase that, oh, if I prevent these other patterns from existing on the board. I think that strategy is derived from how we've set up the win condition. And so, you know, maybe it is the win condition needs to change, and that's fine. Like it's kind of like those questions of like, well, what are the, if we're going to continue to look at redesigning and reworking this game, what I would want to see is, I'd want to see like our list of problems. We have our list, and then really looking at, well, like what are the possible solutions within the parameters that we want to keep, or change parameters to make new solutions available to us. Whereas just being like, well, we need a radical idea out of left field that, I don't want to call it a random change, because I think you're like, the things that we've tried have been well thought out in addressing theme or in trying to approach the problem in a different way. But pulling from your worker placement game into our like abstract tile game, for me, doesn't serve. Or like if that's kind of the perceived need for the game, I would be more inclined to say this game is done, or this game is at a point that we're not ready to continue pursuing it.
That's where we're at. Tune in next week. If you live in the Bay Area, you can tune in just a little bit sooner, because we're going to be at Sports Basement on December 16th from 5 to 7 p.m. playing two-player board games, including our game. You wanted a Fox in the Forest ladder? I think it takes too long to like have like ladder challenges with Fox in the Forest. So I got an idea. Connect Four, quick games.
Let's go.
I want to be the champion of something. Stonestown Sports Basement, December 16th, 5 to 7 p.m.
This play podcast is brought to you by.
I mean, you're laughing, but where do we go from there? I mean, I kind of hinted and dropped that maybe we would talk about our plan for Kickstarter versus self-publishing. That's something that we wanted to talk about before the season ended. That was a good recommendation in Discord from Board Game Casual. I would like to get into that discussion at some point. Is it going to be in season two? I don't know.
I mean, I think before we talk about the possibility of continuing the journey towards crowdfunding versus self-publishing, I think we'd want to know, is this the game? Because when we set out, when we revised the roadmap, we're like, end of December, end of season two, here's the game. Is this the game? I think both of us say no.
Tune in next week.
The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Adjos, Brian Binns, and Peter. Consider donating at buymeacoffee.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our form at themisplay.com/sponsors. What I'm trying to say is, I think for me, I like a good game with upgrades. I can't name one right now, but I like a good game with upgrades.
That should be the outtake.
I can't even remember. There's a game in my head that I'm like, I really like this game, and it has a really sick upgrade system. But it's a worker placement game.